Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy, episode 17.
You've heard all about this whole paleo thing, but you've wondered if it's really for you. You've been searching for someone to guide you along the way. Your search is over. Let registered nurse Marie Grace Berg lead the way with these inspiring stories of people who have been where you are. Welcome to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy with Marie Grace Berg.
Ever wonder why you're having a hard time losing weight? Eat More Burn More is focused on helping you transform your body into a fat burning mode by turning off the hormone that sabotages your fat loss. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more. Yes, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Alain Bro. Alain Bro is an award-winning executive chef and Amazon.com best-selling and award-winning food and health author. Chef Bro is the co-host on the podcast Low Carb Paleo Show on the Low Carb magazine. We are thrilled to hear her story as we take him back to his journey when he first started living the gluten-free paleo lifestyle. To our paleo fans out there, Mr. Alain Bro, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Marie. Thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
We are delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Alain, I really love your story and what you're putting out there to the paleo community. And as a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment anytime about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with you and your life prior to being on the paleo. Can you tell us more about you personally and share us what was your life and personal situation prior to adapting the paleo diet and lifestyle?
Well, I've had a long life. You can tell from listening to my voice, but I've been around for about 60 years. So you probably don't have time for me to tell you my complete story, but suffice it to say, I'm a French-born chef, and years ago I had no idea no idea about nutrition at all. And then about 15 years ago, as I was owning my own business, a couple of my assistants started to request vegetarian dishes, and you know, I'm a typical French, I eat everything, and that got me intrigued and interested in nutrition. So from that time on, I started to be more aware of the effect of food on people's health. And eventually, after I lost my business, I decided to study nutrition as an alternative way for me to make a living. So I studied microbiotic for a couple of years. I became certified, and then I got a degree in holistic nutrition. And when I started to work for People's Pharmacy, I became a full combination of executive chef / nutrition, nutritionist. And that's when I was more focused on making sure that the food I was creating for the company was targeted to our customers, a lot of which are allergic to gluten, allergic to dairy, vegan, vegetarian, and so on. And eventually, I came progressively into the paleo side of the diet, following my own personal growth.
I love what I'm hearing about you and your life prior to adopting the paleo diet and lifestyle, and I'm sure our listeners were curious to hear that one as well. Now, what was that defining moment that made you start the paleo diet and lifestyle?
Well, honestly, there was not a defining moment. As you may know, I'm writing books on food and health, and the second one was living gluten and dairy free with French gourmet food. I discovered that I was allergic to gluten. Big surprise for me, because as French, we eat bread and pastries and croissants and so on. And so I was a little surprised. But so at that point, I decided to follow my own advice in my book and, you know, be gluten-free, which wasn't easy, but, you know, eventually, I found a way to deal with it. And then about 2 years later, one of my coworkers, which is kind of my nutrition mentor, made me aware of the paleo diet and the paleo lifestyle. And she told me, you know, it would make sense if you move on to that diet. And since I hadn't, you know, I was already on the way to getting rid of grains, I figured, why not? And so I looked into it first. I studied it. I, you know, read a lot about it. I read all the big names, of course, the Mark Sisson, Dr. Cordain, Rob Wolf, Chris Kressler, and so on and so forth. And what they said convinced me that this was something I wanted to try. So I'm typically a very healthy person, but I had some digestive issues that I couldn't get rid of. And so I decided to go full paleo and see what happens. And I have to report that I'm happy with the results. I don't have as many, you know, digestive problems. I live very clean. And since I was already on my way into cleaning up my diet anyway, it wasn't too difficult for me to transition into paleo.
Right, and on that note, well, I could totally relate to what you've said, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners there, especially those who love bread, because I do love bread as well, and coming from a background where rice is our staple food, and when I went to Norway, bread was a staple food, so it was a really hard transition for me as well. But for the sake of our listeners, I'd love for you to share them. What were those initial steps that you took to getting rid of all these grains and this gluten from your diet, so that our listeners can learn from and see for themselves how they can do it as well?
Well, I'm kind of a I'm not an all or nothing kind of person. I prefer to transition progressively into something new because I need to allow my body to adjust to the new diet. So I basically started to slowly reduce the amount of gluten or grains. And then eventually one day I woke up and I was pretty much grain free. So it wasn't, I didn't like consciously, I made a conscious effort to progressively move into that direction instead of trying to go hardcore and it would be so hard to deal with that eventually I would break down and go back to my old diet. So I kind of know how my brain functions and how my body functions. So taking that into account, I knew that if I tried to go cold turkey, it would not work for me. So I decided to just go progressively and start progressively eliminating things, you know, as I went along. And then after a while, there was nothing bad to eat. So and I cleaned up my diet pretty much.
Well, that's a great lesson here for our listeners, because you don't have to go all in right away, because that's very challenging. And I found that one myself. So take one thing at a time, for example. So if gluten or grains are hard for you to start to transition right away, do it slowly. Just change one meal, for example, one breakfast, for example, and do that one for the rest of the week, and then see for yourself. Because if you try to do all in right away, that is so challenging, and that would, you know, you will give up on probably the second or third day. So I've tried a lot myself in the beginning. It was hard. But then I do it like what Elaine just shared with us, slowly, like changing one meal at a time, one meal a day at a time. And then after a week, I'll go for another meal a day. So do it for yourself and then see how your body responds to it. So for our listeners out there, don't be too hard on yourself. Try to do it slowly. And if you decide to go all in, make sure that you have the support system around you to help you with that. So thank you for sharing those. Now, can you share our listeners what one alternative that you take for the gluten and grains that replaced that one while you were slowly transitioning to it?
Well, I have to also explain that because I live alone, it was a lot easier for me to transition because I didn't have to consult with my wife or my children. I was the sole decider for my diet, so I didn't have to fight or had to confront the resistance from my family. So it was, you know, my son, which doesn't live with me, but he kind of thought it was kind of weird, you know, because when we go out, we try to avoid gluten, and he was like, "What are you doing? You never done this before." I said, so I explained what was going on, and he said, "Oh, okay." He knew I was a health freak anyway, so it was not a big surprise for him. But I explained the reason, and then he was cool with that, and that was it. So I do realize that when you have a family to convince, it's a little more difficult because one or two things happen. Either they completely, you know, don't understand, and so basically you're forced to prepare a meal for them and then a meal for you. If you're very lucky, they'll be supportive because they already know you're very sick. So, you know, they will try to make your life easier. But, you know, keep in mind that they might still cheat on their own side, you know, as long as you're not celiac disease and you have to absolutely avoid all wheat or gluten, you'll have to find a way to deal with having gluten around the house as long as you don't touch it. You know, so that's something to keep in mind too. My transition was easier because one, I'm a chef, so I can cook for myself. I don't have to buy anything outside. You know, I know exactly what to buy, how to buy it, what's good for me, what's bad for me. One thing that I did right away was get rid of processed food, and that was pretty easy because I was, despite a couple of things, I was pretty clean already. So it was, you know, getting rid of cookies was not easy, but that was the first step. And then, you know, then I moved on to getting rid of the bread. And actually, I switched from a regular bread to a gluten-free bread. And eventually, I stopped even eating bread as a rule. It just happened, you know. I went from having a loaf of bread in my freezer and to not having and not missing it. So that was sort of how it happened. Keep in mind that I'm a chef and a nutritionist, so I know what needs to be done to make the transition easier because I'm fully aware of the consequences of what I'm doing. And that's why it can be difficult for some people because you need to learn to be aware of your own body's reaction to the products that will either make you sick or make you feel not so good when you eat them.
Yes, I'm really glad that you shared those insights because you've shared a lot of insights in what you just shared and first off with the family. So for our listeners out there, if you're planning to do this alone or if you are thinking of doing this alone, that's okay. I mean, you don't have to get your family on board right away, but it's important that you have a plan and a goal because you have to know why are you doing this in the first place? What is your purpose? Are you doing this to lose weight? Are you doing this to get rid of digestive problems, for example? Because it's really important to find that reason why you're doing this, because that would help you. That will help direct you as you go further along. And for the family, it's really a big issue. For me as well, my husband can eat anything, so when I prepare my food, he eats what I prepared. But I don't force him to do this. So if I prepare something that he will just eat it, and I'm grateful for that. But on other times, if he wants to eat something, then I let him do that. And then afterwards, he got used to it because I was preparing the food. So for our listeners out there, know why are you doing this? What is your purpose? What are the things that you want to achieve because of wanting to transition to the paleo diet? Because that would help you plan what it is that you're going to be doing. And on that note, Aline, I would love for you to touch on what are some of the challenges that you or probably your clients that had during transitioning to the paleo diet that our listeners can learn from.
Right. Another, before we get to that, another suggestion I like to make is that keep in mind that most, unless you're absolutely hardcore paleo diet, most paleo diet supporters, or you know, the big names, all that, they do allow you to cheat a little bit. So keep that in mind. If you want to go 80-20, for example, you're 80% clean, paleo clean, and then once in a while you cheat a little bit. For example, my cheat is corn chips. I can't not live without my corn chips. So I treat it as a treat, as a special treat. And because I'm being good 80% of the time, then I'll eat my corn chips and not feel bad about it. So if there's something that you really cannot live without, and instead of feeling guilty about it, turn it into a reward. Because you've been good, I'm allowed to eat this particular thing, as long as it doesn't make me sick, of course. You know, another one of my cheats is cheese. Because I'm French, I cannot live without cheese. So, but I make it a once a week treat, and that's it. You know, I really fully enjoy it, and then I move on with the rest of my diet. So this is another thing to keep in mind. Try not to be too hard on yourself and allow yourself a little slack, so you're not tempted to cheat and then feel bad about it.
Yes, that's really important. I'm really glad that you shared that one, because that's really important to note for our listeners, that you not to feel bad, not to feel guilty when during those days that you fall off the wagon, as they said. So 80-20 rule. So if you eat 80% of the time the paleo diet or the healthy diet, the healthy food, then you can allow yourself a little some leeway on eating those food that you, are your favorite, for example, once a week treat. So and treat it as a treat for yourself, you know, as a reward for yourself for eating healthy most of the time. So it's not like 100% you have to be really strict on yourself, because that's like being too hard on yourself, and it's really hard and you'll get frustrated early on. So find what works for you. If 80% of the time you eat healthy, then allow yourself some leeway, just what Elaine just shared with us, because that's okay. If 80% of what you eat is healthy, you are doing a great favor to your body. That's great. You will reap the benefits of that as well. But the most important thing, especially for us women, is not to feel guilty when we eat something that are not really on the list, for example, but treat it as a reward, just what Aline just said, because I do too once in a while, especially with cheese, because I love cheese. It's one of my favorite food, cheese and grapes. And I still treat myself and I still do it sometimes, but it's not like on a daily basis. And that's the thing here. Treat yourself with those foods that you like once in a while, and treat it as a reward for yourself, and not just like indulging yourself, but just a reward. Know that they are okay as long as you are keeping most of your food, the healthy parts. Thank you for sharing those.
So going back to your question, the most difficult part I've seen in my clients, there's two things. One, they tend to try too hard, and that defeats the purpose, which goes back to what I was saying earlier. The other thing, and that's that may be a very American thing, is that a lot of people in this country do not know how to cook for themselves from scratch. And when I design a diet, special diet for them, taking into account all the food allergies they have, they look at my menus and recipes, and they go, I can't do this. This is too much work. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do this. And so the part that I see that seems to be difficult for a lot of my clients is that they don't even, you know, for me, it's natural because I'm a chef, because I was born French. So that means I always, my whole family was cooking, and I started cooking when I was young. For me, it's natural to cook my own food, but for a lot of American people, it's a complicated situation. I even have to teach people how to shop. I have to sometimes come to the house and clean up their pantry for them, because they don't know what to do, what to get rid of, what to buy, how to buy it. They also, sometimes there's a comment that eating healthy is expensive, which is not necessarily true if you know what to do. So these are all sorts of issues that gets in the way for a lot of people, and they think it's overwhelming, and then they give up.
Well, those are challenges I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to, and that's the thing, because there's a lot of recipes out there, but it's really, if you really want to get the benefit or the benefits of going the paleo lifestyle, be willing to do the work. I mean, there are a lot of simple recipes that we can all learn, and it all starts with learning one recipe at a time. And I mean, when I got started, I learned how to make my green smoothies, which is mostly vegetable and probably one or two fruits, because that way I knew that I was getting my vegetables in. And then I started learning one recipe that I knew I could do. So sauteing vegetable, for example, or baking meat, for example, grass-fed meat. And for on that note regarding organics versus non-organic, I mean, what is your take on that one, Alain? Because I hear this a lot with our listeners that, okay, do we really have to go organic? Do we really have to go grass-fed? And I would love for you to comment on that. What is your take on it? And what can you advise for our listeners who are just transitioning to the paleo diet and are not that, they don't have that much budget on the food, for example?
Right. That's a complex subject. I wrote a couple of articles on the subject. And I also address it in my book, Healthy French Cuisine for Less Than $10 a Day. So I actually wrote a whole book on the subject. So you know, feel free to go and look it up. But based on those feedbacks from my customers, what I've learned to do is I've learned to offer them simple recipes. You know, something that they can transition into. I like you said, you know, I told them don't just jump on the recipes and try to do it all at the same time. Do one new recipe per week, and then after a few weeks you'll have a good repertoire of recipes where you can feel comfortable with. Meanwhile, you know, find a source, a reliable source. If you do buy takeout, there's a couple of companies that do supply now gluten-free and paleo meals, and although I personally think they're a little expensive, but that's one way to transition into the diet without, you know, going crazy with the new recipes. But I definitely recommend testing one new recipe per week. Do it on the weekend when you have more time. Get comfortable around the kitchen, and then move on. And eventually, you'll have a nice list of recipes you can fall back on. And you know, a lot of people think because I'm a chef, I cook very complicated recipes at home. That's not true. Most professional chefs will tell you, when they get home, the last thing they want to do is cook some more. So what I cook at home is extremely, extremely simple. Pan-fried, boiled, steamed. Something, if I can't prepare within 10 or 15 minutes, then I won't do it. It's just too much time, and I have other things to do. So even the professionals do not cook complicated recipes at home. So keep that in mind if that can help you understand that it doesn't have to be complicated. As far as shopping organic and all that, there's tricks you can use. First of all, I suggest you buy locally from your local farmers for many reasons. One of them, you support your local economy. Second, you get to know your community. You put your money back into your local community. You're helping your farmers. You become friends with them. You get to trust them and know that the food they provide you is very good quality. It hasn't been shipped from all over the country, from California, from Chile, or even from China sometimes. God knows by the time it gets to you, it's not fresh. You know, it's been around for a couple of weeks before it gets to you. Keep that in mind. So my first suggestion is buy locally. In some places, like here in Austin, we actually have farmers market that are supported by the Sustainable Food Center, and what they offer is they actually offer to double your food coupons when you have like SNAP, tickets, you know, to buy foods on low income. The farmers market allows us to double that amount. So if you get a ticket for $10, you can actually buy $20 worth of food with that coupon. So I do realize that not all farmers market do that, but you know, ask around, see if yours does it. That would be a good way to basically cut your food budget in half. So you cannot beat freshly, you know, food that's been basically picked the same morning or the night before compared to commercial food that's been, you know, picked 2 weeks ago and shipped across the country. Not to mention the consequence on the environment and the cost and all that. So you don't have to eat everything certified organic, but it is the second next step. So if you cannot find everything you need locally, which typically if you eat fresh food, typically you can find your meat, you can find your fruits and vegetables, which is basically what paleo diet is about. You should not need a whole lot more than that. You can even find, in some cases, your milk, your eggs. You definitely can find your chicken, your poultry. You know, in my local farmers, we have access to grass-fed beef. We can find duck eggs. We can find bison. I mean, you know, I know Austin is a little special that way, but I'm sure that you have farmers market around the country that also provide all sorts of good quality food fresh. And so keep in mind that not only are you eating the best quality fresh food, but you're also supporting your local economy. Why spend your money and give it away to corporations when you can help your local farmers? That's my position.
Yes, totally agree with you. And I'm really big on going to the farmer's market. So for our listeners out there, find where your local farmer's market is. I'm sure in every state here in California, when I was in San Diego, we have farmer's market every week. And here in San Francisco area, we have a farmer's market every week. So for our listeners out there, find where is your farmer's market and go there, visit it one time, for example, and see what's in it for you there. There are a lot of local vegetables, local produce that, you know, like what Elaine said, not only supports our local community, but all they are fresh produce all the time, and they are inexpensive. So start with that. I think that's a whole lot easier on your budget to go locally, to go buy this locally produced food, and you can start with like eggs, for example, or chicken if that's what you want to start with. So it's all about being resourceful, and I agree with what Elaine said, to really support our community. Not only we're getting fresh produce for ourselves, but we're also supporting them to sustain them in their efforts of producing this local food.
Right. And also because and I've been advocating that for years, and this is something I learned from my grandmother. She used to grow on garden. That's another way to cut your costs. See if you can find a way to either, you know, take a piece of land, if you have a little backyard or something, use that to grow some, if you have the time and the inclination. I realize that not everybody does. The least you can do, you can grow your own herbs in a pot in your kitchen. If you have community gardens, you can go and rent a little patch of ground and grow your own food, and they'll be glad to teach you how to do it. Which leads me to my next suggestion, is that I highly suggest you eat with the season. When you eat in season, the produce that's available is cheaper because you're not buying off season. If you're trying to buy strawberries in December, you know they're going to be more expensive. So your farmer market or you growing your own food will allow you to eat in season what your body needs in that particular season. The vegetables that grow in winter will support your body's health a different way than the vegetable or the fruit you find in summer when it's hot. You don't feel like eating anything heavy. You want more fruit salads or fresh salads instead of cooking something heavy like stews and something like that. So go with the season. If you can grow your own food, that's another way to save a lot of money. I mean, my grandmother was a poor farmer, but she had a kitchen garden, and that's how we survived. We We grew our own food, we raised our own chicken and rabbits, and whatever we didn't grow, we went to the market and traded for a loaf of bread or maybe a piece of beef. We didn't have a big farm, so we didn't have big animals. So that's another way to cut your costs. I mean, I realize for city people it's not always possible, but this, if there's a will, there's a way to find how you can work around that.
Yes, totally agree with you. And I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in a small island in the Philippines called Batanes. And during that time, we grew everything and we produced everything ourselves. So I remember we didn't have electricity till I was 12 years old. So everything we produced and everything was in season. So for example, in the summer, we will have a lot of fruits. And when we have those fruits or a lot of vegetables during the summer, we used to give them out to the neighbors and vice versa. They used to do that one for ourselves. So of course, especially for those who are living in the city, there will be a challenge to do this. But find a way if you are not able to grow your own, or just go to the local farmer's market and buy those produce that you can have. And if you are, you know, able to grow your own, maybe a little garden. I know of some people who kind of collectively help each other. They bought a piece of land, for example, and then they have that one as a garden, and they grow everything in there. So I see that one, and I've read a lot of them that they are coming more and more of those. So if that's possible for you, then I commend you to do that. Otherwise, go to your local farmer's market and find those produce that you can have and start cooking, or start learning how to cook simple recipes that what Alain just shared with us.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned too is you can also, if you have like a neighbor that actually loves to garden, see if you can trade some maybe services in exchange for food. Maybe you can do babysitting in exchange for food, or you can help him doing their shopping in exchange for free food. If you grow your own food but you don't grow the same kind of food, then you trade some of their food for some of your food, and you exchange food between neighbors. That's also another way to keep your costs down. So these are all ideas that I'm not expecting you to get started tomorrow, but something to think about, something to keep in mind. You know, don't try to do all of it at once. It's too difficult. Just be gentle on yourself and take it one step at a time. There's another issue I'd like to address, because I think it's going to be a major issue in the near future, is the genetically engineered food. It's called GMOs, genetically modified organism, and there's more and more of that in our food, and especially in processed food. And it does lead some people to become sick, because it affects the digestive system. So that's something I would suggest you kind of become aware of. I'm not saying that to panic you, but just keep in mind that the more fresh food you grow, the less likely you're gonna eat food that is being genetically engineered in the lab.
Yes, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it's going rampant now, and it's hard, especially I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, to differentiate which GMO foods are, because sometimes they are mislabeled. So yeah, we have a lot to learn from and to really educate ourselves on which foods are GMO'd or those foods that are not, because sometimes the labels are so misleading, especially on the store. So I'm glad that you noted that.
We're fighting, and when I say we, is that the anti-GMO people like me, we're fighting to get our food labeled properly so that we are aware whether our food contains genetically engineered food or not. But it's a big fight. We're fighting against very powerful corporations, including, you know, our government, because it's not supporting labeling GMO. But there's a couple of tricks you can use, two of which I already gave you. The first one is eat organic if you can. The second one, eat fresh local food, because you know it's not going to grow genetically engineered. And the third one is look for the non-GMO verified label on your packaging. There's a little butterfly on it. It's kind of a greenish label, and it says non-GMO verified. And you use those three tricks and you should be able to avoid genetically engineered food fairly easily.
Wow, great tips there. So for our listeners out there, you know, let me just share those again, what Elaine just shared with us. So for GMO food, look for the labels that says non-GMO verified packaging. And also really make sure that the one thing that can help you make sure that you are not eating those GMO food is to really go organic or buy those local food from your local farmer's market. Those are huge tips that Alain just shared with us. So thank you for sharing those.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I like to remind my paleo clients is that you can be leading the perfect paleo diet or eating the perfect paleo diet, but if you're not paying attention to genetically engineered food, that could still make you sick or make you feel bad. So I've seen a lot of impressive results when I take some of my clients off of GMOs, and at first they don't believe in it. They think that can't be that simple, and they say, well, give it a try, it can't hurt, it's just food. So avoid GMOs for a while and get back to me, and I get a lot of positive response on that. So, you know, it's not something you should obsess about, but be aware of it, you know, and if it doesn't clearly specify non-GMO, and more companies actually going that route because they realize it's a concern for a lot of customers. More than 80% of the American customers want their food label clearly, whether it contains genetically engineered food. So the best way to fight them is to go and buy only non-GM food. So, you know, keep an eye on that and then stay healthy in doing so, because you could be eating, or you think you're eating healthy, but if you're eating certain foods that are genetically engineered, then you're not really eating healthy. And that's something I'm trying to make people aware. I'm actually finishing my book, GMO 101, which will explain all of this very clearly and hopefully help a lot of people trying to understand what GMOs are and how they affect our health.
Yes, I think it's one area that we all need to be educated with. So I'm glad that you have a book coming out for that purpose, GMO 101. We're going to be looking out for that. Now, Elaine, I'd love for you to share our listeners, how did you or your clients measure your success following the paleo diet so that our listeners can see for themselves what are those benefits and transformations that they can have following this paleo diet?
Well, this is, you know, from my point of view, there's nothing to measure, really. The only thing that you should pay attention to is how your body reacts. And so, and this is something you need to learn, is to become aware of your body's reactions. For example, one thing that helps a lot is to write a food diary. So you write down, you know, what you ate, and then a few hours later, you know, you kind of, okay, you reflect on, okay, how do I feel now? Has it been good? Do I feel good? Do I feel better? Or am I sick to my stomach? Do I have gas? Do I have stomach pains? Is my head foggy? Do I need to take a nap when I should be full of energy? Those kind of issues, those are the way for me to figure out whether I'm doing the right thing and the wrong thing. For example, one thing I've learned the hard way is that as long as I follow my home diet, I'm perfectly fine. But as soon as I go out to a party or an event somewhere else, I can bet money that the next day I will be sick to my stomach. And you know, I'm not sick, like very sick, but I definitely noticed a change in my bathroom routine, so to speak. I don't have to describe what I'm talking about. So, but, you know, and even when I'm going to events, I try to be very picky what I'm eating. There's always something that's not going to be 100% clean or pure. So for me, how to measure whether I'm on my diet or not is how my body reacts. And my body tells me, okay, you you know, this is not good for me, so you gotta stop eating it or else I'm gonna continue to be sick. And that's the best advice I can offer to your listeners at this time.
Yes, totally agree with you with that one, that it's really being aware of your body, how your body feels. And for our listeners out there, especially if you are just starting out or thinking of starting the paleo diet, if you give yourself like a week or 2 weeks or 30 days, make it 30 days, for example, give yourself 30-day challenge that that to go on the paleo diet, or eliminating those diet that are not on the list too, like for example, grains and legumes or dairy, for example, and see for yourself after 30 days, for example, try to introduce those food, because I did that one myself because I wanted to make sure what is it that is causing me all of these symptoms, these gut problems. And I started eliminating them after that day, after those 30 days when I was going pure, like I was like, it was kind of a detoxification for me because I went clean for 30 days. And then I was slowly reintroducing those things because I want to make sure what is it that is really making me all of these symptoms. And I knew after that one, because I started getting bloated and I started having these cramps and like all of those other problems that I'm sure you, you'll experience if your body says that, okay, this is not for me. So for our listeners out there, you know, whatever your goal is, okay, so a lot of our listeners, their goal to go going paleo is to lose weight. That's the byproduct of it, because you're removing all of those high glycemic index food that we say, and all those sugars, all of those processed sugars. So that's a side benefit of going to the paleo diet. But what is it that it is you are looking for? Why are you doing this paleo diet? Because I think that's the main thing for our listeners to know, that you have to have a reason why you're doing this. What are those benefits that you want to have for yourself as a result of this? So for our listeners out there, make sure to start with that and then see your gauge will be your body. What is it telling you? How are you feeling after you eat those foods that you know that, you know, if they are good for you or not? So be aware of those and go from there, because that's a huge takeaway.
Actually, I have a suggestion. You know, I know you you know Heather Jacobson of Stuffed Pepper?
Yes, she was okay on our show early on, yes.
Yes, she has a wonderful program. For people that needs a little more hands-on and a little more guidance, she has a program, a 30-day program that you can sign up on, and it gives you daily advice on what to do and what to do next and what to cook, what kind of exercise to do. It's a very comprehensive program that walks you through the whole 30 days program, and then at the end of it, then you know most likely you'll be a lot more paleo than you used to be when you started. So that's a good suggestion to follow if you need a little more hands-on you know follow-up.
Yes, and also she has a great community online that you can get support with, that you can connect with, because it's really important when you are doing this challenge, for example, to surround yourself with the people that are doing the same thing as you are, going in the same direction as you are. So I will have this on our resources note as well. That's the 30-day challenge by Heather Jacobson, and her website is the Stuffed pepper.com. So I'll make sure to have this one on our show notes. All right, last but not the least, Elaine, I'd love for you to share our listeners what's next in your life as a paleo advocate that excites you the most. And for example, share us what it is you're currently working at and what one big benefit our listeners can get with your product or your service and when they can get it, and then we'll end from there.
Right. And well, as you know, I'm on the board of advisory board of the Paleo FX event, so I'm looking forward to the Paleo FX in Denver, which is coming in October. I am hoping to be one of the speakers there. I'm still, you know, to convince Michelle and Keith on that. But I have hope that they will accept me as a speaker. I'm also finishing my book, GMO 101, which should be out by the end of July, you know, just in time to prepare for hopefully my speech at the Paleo FX event. I'm following this intensive training at the end of the month regarding GMO and paleo combination. So there's a lot of exciting thing. And of course, there's the low carb paleo show with my partner, Mark Moxon. We interview paleo luminaries, you know, from all sides. For example, this week we have a farmer, we have a naturopath doctor. Next week we have, well, I have to think about that. Actually, let me check my calendar because I can't keep all of it in my brain. But we have a wide assortment of different people. We had Dr. Walls on. We had Mark Sisson. We are hoping to get Rob Wolf on. We're still working on that. We're also trying to get John Durand on. So let's see. Tomorrow we have an interview with a doctor, Dr. Dave in England. He's a paleo doctor that specializes in athletes, you know, helping athletes. Then we're going to have, at the end of the week, we have a chef. He's a paleo chef in New York City, and I've been trying to invite more and more chefs and restaurants that do paleo food. Next week, we are talking to a gentleman that is a farmer in California. He has a beautiful, beautiful property where he's raising grass-fed beef and animals and, you know, organic vegetables and fruits. So that should be very interesting. And there's always something interesting on the show. So I hope you guys can listen to it once in a while, and we'll try to keep it exciting and interesting and informative. That's my goal in the low carb paleo show, is to educate people, make them aware of what's going on. I also like to mention that I have a book out on, it's called Paleo French Cuisine, which will tell you about my version of paleo, which is pretty much similar to most people. The only thing is that because I'm French, I am not against dairy. So I do accept dairy as long as it's good quality dairy. And of course, I offer 120 different paleo recipes in the book. So that's something good to know. And of course, you can find me on my website. It's my name, Alain Braux, AlainBraux.com, and you can find my blog, my books, my everything, basically everything about me and what I do and how I do it and why I do it. So this is all very exciting, and I hope I helped you guys learn a few new tricks today. And I want to thank Marie very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Wow, lots of things happening there, exciting things that are going to be happening in the near future. So we're going to be really on lookout for that. So thank you for sharing those. And yes, for our listeners out there, the Paleo FX, there's one event coming in October, just what Alain just shared with us, and where he's going to be speaking on. You're going to be speaking about GMO, right?
I'm going to speak on paleo and GMO, yes.
Paleo and GMO. So for our listeners out there, look out for this event. Great resource, great people, experts, and you'll meet a lot of people that you can learn from. So that's the paleofx.com. That's led by Michelle and Keith, and Alain's going to be there. So I'm going to put that one on our show notes. And also, for our listeners, I highly recommend you to check Alain's show, Low Carb Paleo. It's Low Carb Paleo Show. It's a part where he interviews a lot of these experts. So, you know, it's one way of learning is to listen to the shows. Our show, Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy, is helping you on how to transition to it. But to get in-depth on paleo, I highly recommend that you check on his show, the Low Carb Paleo Show, and I'll have this on our show notes as well. And for our listeners who wants to transition to this one and want some healthy recipes, please check her his book called The Healthy French Cuisine for less than $10 a day. This is huge resource for you. And watch out for his upcoming book, GMO 101. I'll have those on our resource notes as well. And Elaine, I'm really grateful and honored to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story, for being a role model to many, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. The Paley fans out there, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
It's been my pleasure, Marie, and thank you very much for having me on.
Did you know there is a hormone in your body that turns your belly into a magnet for ugly fat? It literally turns the food you eat into embarrassing, pant-stretching, stubborn belly fat, even the foods you think are healthy. Discover a simple test that reveals if the belly fat hormone is sabotaging your fat loss, and learn the easy and natural ways to shut down this hormone for good, so you can have the flat stomach you deserve. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey, and we'll see you next time.